our very great friends, Pastors Mark and Deanne von Blankensy from Devonport in Tasmania. This beautiful couple have been doing the journey with us for, since 1998 we first met, and we were on team together at a church called Liberty Christian Church, I think it was called back then, or Liberty, and we were on the same team back then. Many, many years ago, we formed a very special bond, a very special relationship that has been maintained throughout the years, and we have a lifelong friendship from that point in time that we've enjoyed through all the varied seasons of what it is to be pastors and what it is to face all the challenges of ministry life. And we're here for each other, and we've cried a lot, we've laughed a lot, we've ate a lot, obviously, and enjoyed many moments around tables. And it's my great privilege and honor to welcome my very good friend, Pastor Mark von Blankensy, to come and share some thoughts with us today. Why don't you give him a big hand as he comes to minister the word today? Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand and welcome him today as he comes and shares the word? Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the fact that you've got a big screen, wide screen to fit my name on. That's good. And it is a privilege. I know about 30 years ago, we came down from Yeppoon, and I was working in the bank at Armdale Shopping Centre across the way there. And I was just talking to Tony on the way as we arrived this morning, just to see how much even the roads changed. Sometimes we think, we look back at memories to go, weren't they great times? And we look back and we should celebrate. We should go, wow, we're so thankful for the people and that we've met and the times we've had. Yet there's a lot of times you look back and to go, who would like the road the way it was 30 years ago? Two lanes and going up and down from the Gold Coast into the city. Even the people in this world have an idea of faith, that they're thinking that things are going to keep going forward. And as a church, we should be leading the way in that, that, hey, things aren't getting smaller. And one thing I know that I do for my whole life, and I know that Tony and Cheryl, Maz and Daz have done too, that our greatest thing as pastors is there's going to be a day when you stand before God. And we want that to be the happiest day of your life, not the scariest day of your life. And we want to create an opportunity. If we had to look back and put photos up on the screen, if we could, of how's your heart. I want to talk to you briefly. I know we've all got body clocks. If you're Catholic here today, the time's already done. I've got a Catholic friend in Devonport, and after an hour, people just walk out. We had a celebration, combined celebration, that went for typically an hour and a half. But at the hour mark, all the Catholics got up and left. And it was just their body clock. I don't even think they thought about it. They just left. So if you were here thinking body clock, it's an hour and a half, we're out of here. I'll try to do this as quickly as we can. But I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about how's your heart. How's your heart? If we could put a picture up on the screen, how your heart was 11 years ago, how's it 30 years ago, I wonder what you would look like compared to what your heart looks like now. We've actually got a little thing, cartoon, to put up. It's always important to start seriously in your message. So if we could put that up on the screen. Thanks, guys. There it is. Yeah. Maybe there's a caption that goes on with this that says, yes, sir, that is very loud. But what I said is that I wanted to listen to your heart. So how's your heart? How is your heart? Question I have, and there is, just to keep it interesting, there's $50 if you can think what I'm thinking. What do God and two-year-olds have in common? What do God and two-year-olds have in common? And I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to give that away in a minute. When we lived in Alice Springs, we thought that we were on the wild frontier. And compared to life in suburban Brizzy here, we were. But we met a couple of people who ended up becoming our heroes there, Amy Glass and Dorothy Hackett. And Amy and Dorothy were 18-year-olds, and they didn't come to the big smoke of Alice Springs that we thought was Wild Frontier. They went out to a place called Warburton, which is over the Western Australia border. And they arrived as black-haired, long black-haired. They got out of a truck and arrived in Warburton. And for the next 45 to 50 years, they spent there translating the Bible into a local language. They never married. They never had a family. They never went on U-Butte family on holidays because they couldn't afford to. They never did the conference speaking gigs or headliners at anything. They faithfully served for 45 plus years translating the Bible. We went to visit them just for a couple of days, and they learned how to, you know, to change tyres on their troopy, to do the bush mechanics. They lived in a little, just a, again, smaller than a bedroom, and with a tin roof. It was hot, it was dusty, it was primitive. We went and celebrated them in their open, and when they the finishing of the Bible translation. We were there for 2 days. There was 2 days, and I couldn't wait to get out of the place. They had something in their heart. They had a heart motivation to be there that I could never have. And it's like, wow, what's that about? And then there was another story of there's people, friends in our church that are missionaries in Pemba, Mozambique. And there was a friend of theirs, Marina, who just returned from Brazil on a short COVID break to come back to Pemba in Mozambique. And so she got into a taxi at the airport, and before she got out of the airport precinct, that in the taxi that she was in, two other taxis came and rammed her taxi. They got out of the car, pulled the driver of her taxi out of the car and started beating him. And she spoke Portuguese, so she understood what was going on. And to a horror, firstly that she thought her taxi driver was just getting beaten, but to a horror she found out that this taxi driver had been picking up foreigners from the airport, taking them out, killing them and stealing all their stuff. She was in the middle of a kidnap that she didn't even realise was going on. And so I've been to Africa a couple of times, and being there for 2 weeks, there is like I couldn't wait to get out of the place. But there's something in their heart, a motivation of their heart that I didn't have, that they would keep on turning up when it's such a mess and hazardous circumstances. What have they got? Is there something? Is God fair that we get to do this and they get to do that? What's the motivation of their heart that they have that I may not? We're in India. Last time we were in India with a team, I was talking to a pastor after the service, and a local pastor came and he said, "How do you handle the beatings?" And I said, "Are you talking cricket?" And he said, no, not cricket. he said, "How do you handle the beatings when you are dragged out and you are beaten from those who live around you, and they take sticks and hit you and they steal your stuff and the police watch on or even join in? How do you respond to that?" And it's like being in India for a couple of weeks doing some training there, I couldn't wait to get back home. They had something in their heart to be there that I didn't have. What's going on in their hearts? What's going on in your heart? I want to say congratulations to Tony, Cheryl, Maz and Daz and the team looking around and on some of the photos. And well done. Well done. You've had to travel through maybe not physical beatings, but maybe. But you've had to travel through your vision and culture that's tried to be kidnapped. You've had to travel through character assassinations. You've had to travel through hazardous times like leaking roofs, overflowing baptismal tanks that have just flooded the floor here, financial crisis, pandemics worldwide, and yet you are still here and still going. And I saw some of those photos up there, and I recognised some people who I'm not sure are here anymore. So the question I wanted to put in this morning is, how's your heart? Why are you here? Why are you here? And if we're taking the lead that Pastor Tony just said, that we're going to celebrate year after year, in 5 years' time, are you going to be here? Because some people who started strong that are not sitting around the table anymore. And our heart's desire is always not just to start well, it's to finish well. And again, to finish, there's one day we're going to standing before Jesus, and that needs to be the best day of our lives, not the worst. So how's your heart? How's your heart? And that's a really hard thing to do, because it's very hard to DIY, to investigate that ourselves. But I want to ask you this morning is, how's your heart? Because it seems like as two-year-olds is to go, again, what's their favourite question? Why? 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 And it's just on repeat. Who's got a two-year-old right now? Two-year-old. Candace. Come here, Candace. Here's $50. You need it. If you've got a two-year-old right now, this could be for sedatives. This could be for whatever you need it to be. That's for you. You're not allowed to share it with your kids. Okay, good. Great. So why? It seems that God is really interested in why we do what we do. Matthew 25, on one tension, it says that as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And it seems to be that it's good deeds. If we put what Matthew 25 says, it's based on deeds, that at the end of the day, when we do stand before God, he's going to be interested in what we've done. What did you do? Revelation chapter 20, according to your deeds that you will be judged. So God is very interested in what you've done. And yet in Matthew chapter 7, there was these guys here who was like, we've done this, we've prophesied, we turned up early, we were here at 10:30 at night and 6 o'clock in the morning, we cast out devils, we did all these things in your name. And Jesus said, not impressed. Well, I'm not impressed what you've done. And it's like, well, I thought it was all about what we did. You're really interested in what we did. And yet he's saying here, not so interested in what you did. So what's the deal with that? God is very interested in why we did what we did. Or why we did what we didn't do. So there's people here today, you might be online, and at least you're watching online, well done. But there's even something better to get here in person if you can. That's even a better deal than watching online. And but whether you stay home or not attend church, I'm not even thinking that that's the primary question that God asks. The primary question that God asks is why you're staying home. Why aren't you in a company of faith like this? Why are you giving in an offering? Why aren't you giving in an offering? Why do you turn up one day or one week and not the other? And it's not so much what you did or didn't do, it's why you did and didn't do. God, like a two-year-old, is incredibly attached to the question of why. Why, why? Why? Ephesians 3:20 says it this way. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. The question I have again this morning is, what's the power at work in us? What's going on in your heart? We've all seen people, we've all seen them or said about them, she is a very motivated person. He is a very motivated person. But what's motivating them? What's motivating you? Because greed can motivate us, but that's not real good. Trying to be accepted, and so we serve to try to get value for our lives, that can be motivating us, but that's not healthy. Pride can motivate us to go, if I do good enough, then I'll get the microphone. And like Tatiana, I can poke my fingers out at people too. Our daughter Jaden, we used to do church at home, and she wanted to be the service leader, the worship leader. And we said, why do you want, do you love singing? And she went, no, I wanted just to tell people what to do. Stand up, sit down, put your hands up. And so the motivation of our heart is incredibly important. again, to be clear, you know, we're not celebrating, we're not handing out gold stars today because you've turned up for the last 11 years or 20 years or 30 years. I'm not even sure if God keeps a record of if you attended or not. Malachi 3, let me read Malachi 3, 16. This is not an offering talk. There's other things in the book of Malachi other than offerings. Malachi 3:16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. Those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said." So if you want God to listen to your prayers, maybe there's a clue just in that. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said." And in his presence, is that rain? Just because you watch the roof leak now. And it says, "And the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance," not a scroll of attendance, "a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name." When you got out of bed this morning, was that your thought? "Oh, how do I honor God and his name today? I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to worship together. I'm going to get there early. There might be someone who needs some help. I'm going to help serve. I'm going to help set up. I'm going to be out and alert in case a single mum with some kids need a hand." How do we go about honoring God in every day of our lives? Because that seems to be what the motivation of a heart that God loves is all about. So, how's your heart? Your heart is the motivation center. What's motivating you to be here? Did you come today because you knew there was food? It's a pretty good guess if there's a celebration and a party, there's going to be food. But what motivated you to be here? Were you here to go, "I want to celebrate, I want to honor God, I want to honor God's people, I want to honor God's faithfulness"? What's your heart motivation? Why will you be here next week? Why will you be here in 5 years' time? Because above all else, Proverbs says, "Above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flows the welfare of your innermost being, the wellspring of our life." There's an old song, maybe Tony's mum can sing it. "There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain filled with God's great love. Come to the river, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry." Is there a river? What's it look like? What's your heart look like? Shriveled up and dried and jealous or prideful? Or is there a river of honor and love of God's Spirit flowing up inside your heart? Because if there's anything else other than God's Spirit, that river of living water flowing in our heart, you may be good to make it another year. You may be great to make it another 5 years, but you won't be here in 10. You won't be here in 20. And you know, there's funerals and celebrations is a time to look back, but it's also time to gauge our heart. There's only one thing that we'll get to present to God when we walk from this life into the next. It's not going to be, "Can I sing like Candace? Can I play a weird-looking cello like Mel? Can I preach like Pastor Tony?" There is not, I don't know a greater preacher than Pastor Tony. He's a great preacher. But can I serve and do I have the focus like a Maz and a Daz to get around? And I can go, "Well, what about this?" Their sound guys and the producers are sitting back there. It's like, what a great job they do. When we stand before God, that's not going to be the question. The only thing, the only one thing, it's not even going to be your kids. It's not going to even be your marriage. One thing that God's going to be, the only thing that I can see that God's interested in is the condition of your heart. That's the only thing that we get to present to God at the end of the day. "Here's my heart. Here's my Eden. Here's the garden of my heart. Was there a river that flowed, that watered and it flourished? Or was it shriveled up and dead? Was your heart better 10 years ago than what it is now?" Because offense can get in there and pollute the river. Sin can get in there and destroy it. But what we want to look back at today and celebrate all the journey that you've made it this far. But as we've said this morning, the theme is, well, it's not done yet. Yeah. It's not done yet. And whether you've been here, again, 5 minutes or 5 years, the important thing is, how's your heart? How's your heart? And today, I just wanted to focus on that, because that's the thing that's kept us and that's the thing that's going to keep us. It's that place. Where do you get alone with God? It's the place where we meet with God. And it's great together, and we should gather together like this as a family. But what's it look like at home? Where's that bench that you get to sit on and just sit in the garden with God? It's a meeting place with God. And when we come together, it's an overflow then of our heart, the river of love and life that flows through us. God's promise is that he breathes his spirit into us. And the overflow of God's spirit out through us is the thing that's going to touch the world. So how's your heart? So I want to the close on this, that Psalm 139 says, "Search my heart, O God, show me." You know, you can go to psychologists, you can go to pastors, you can go to Facebook. I wouldn't recommend it. You could go to a lot of different places to go, "Can you help me with my heart?" And yet the only place, it says, "Search my heart, O God," not "Search my heart, O doctor," not "Search my heart, O pastor," not "Search my heart, O friend," not "Search my heart, O family." It says, "Search my heart, O God." God's the only one who knows your heart completely. And that word "search" is the word ransack, where it's like, no, ransack through my life, ransack through my heart, and show me if there's any offensive way or idol there that's crept in, that's making a mess of my heart. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be round, and I think we all do, want to be round celebrating in 10 years' time, round celebrating in 20 years' time, when it's all the kids who are now running around, they've got the microphone in their hand. And where are all the, how's the walker go? Where are all the ones on the walker? But God, search my heart. Show me if there's anything. You know, it says back in the garden that they were naked. If you're going to be serious with God, you've got to get naked before God to go full exposure. Full exposure, God. I want you to pick out, and I trust that what you show me that you'll deal with. So the best years are ahead. The best times are ahead. But it's only, they'll only be best times when our heart, it's not, because this building might get wiped out tomorrow. Are we all, you know, what would we do then? You know, again, not prophesying this at all, but there will be people who die over the next 10 years who are sitting in this room. It's like, how will we go with that? At the end of the day, the only thing that we get to present to God, and we all will, is our heart. So it makes no sense to leave it another year, another 5 years until you get it sorted out. Why don't we get our hearts sorted out today? Because God's so looking forward to that. So my challenge to you this morning is, over the next day, over the next week, would you sit down? Psalm 139 says, "Search my heart, O God." Would you take some time to sit and to go, "God, when I meet you face to face, I want that to be a good day. But I want to be around for another week, another year, another decade. And I want to be around in God's house and God's people. I want generations to see a heart that loves you. I want to see a generations to see a heart that loves one another. I want to see a flourishing heart." Because it's not just for the life to come. God wants your heart to flourish right now. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to search my heart. Search our heart. That as Impact Church, that this would be a house of heart, a place to belong. This would be that place where broken hearts can come in and be healed, where broken homes can come in and be welcomed, where broken dreams can come in and broken hopes can come in and be replanted and flourished. Search our heart, O God, and we celebrate today what you've done so far, and we look forward to what you're still to do. But the outcome's outside of our hands. What's in our hands is our heart. and we offer them afresh to you today. We ask, invite you in to that room in our hearts. We ask that you'd breathe fresh life and fresh energy, your spirit and your love, the rivers of love and life that flow from you would refresh our hearts. Hearts that are shriveled up today, hearts who are hurting today. God, that you would embrace them, that you would pour your love and your spirit in. And this would mark a brand new start of a great season ahead. That Impact Church would be known as a house of heart. A house of heart. Holy Spirit, come. Father, I pray particularly for Dan, for Beck, and for Jared today. Father, that I pray that as kids and what they've seen and what they've witnessed growing up and the things that could get into their hearts and really pollute that, God, that you would just scrape those things off the top. And there'd just be a fresh, pliable, fresh heart warmed. You take us for all of us, the heart of stone and you put a heart of flesh. Jazz, I just really believe that again, you don't allow the lie to get in that it's the potholes have wrecked your life. But God has a future. God has a plan. God has something incredible for you. It's not too late. It's not too late. Don't sign off because God hasn't signed off. For Dan, I just know that God sees your tears. Hears the cries of your heart. And he's so working a plan right now to fulfill the desires of your heart. For Beck, as you watch this, that there's a journey that's got a corner coming up soon that's going to make a lot of sense of some of the things that you've been through. And we look forward again to a generation rising up that doesn't look back so much but is propelled forward by a foundation that's been laid to take your kingdom further and further than it's ever been before. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Mark. Why don't you give Pastor Mark a big hand? Say thank you to him. Great word, Pastor Mark. How's your heart? Why don't we close with that thought? How's your heart today? How's your heart today? Does it need a bit of refreshing? A bit of reinvigoration today? A bit of reinventing? You know, the good news is, if you need some heart work done, this is the place. This is the moment. This is your opportunity. Right now, this is what the Bible says about our hearts. It says, if you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You'll be made right with God. I think the issue for our hearts is to get some believing in our hearts. If you're here today and church is, it's a little unusual for you. It's a little awkward for you. You're not used to this environment. You're a guest today, or maybe you've been coming along for a few months and you've just been looking. You've been checking it out to see what it is. Can I say to you today that God has an invitation for you. God opened his arms for you. When he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross 2,000 years ago, he did it to repair hearts. To heal the brokenhearted is what Jesus said. I've come to do this. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. If your heart is far from God today, the way for it to be remedied is to get some believing in your heart. To get some believing in your heart. To start saying, I want to believe in God. I don't know all about him. I haven't got it all worked out. I don't know anyone that has, to be quite honest with you. I think we're all on a discovery. We're all on a journey in terms of knowing, understanding God, loving God better. But the journey begins. which is those little steps of surrendering our hearts to Jesus personally and saying, God, come into my heart. My heart needs you. My heart needs you. Can I say to every head in the room that your heart needs God, not just your head. Your heart needs God. You believe with your heart and you confess with your that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can I ask everyone to bow their heads for just a moment? I want to give people some personal space right now because I'm going to ask you the one question that has been asked over and over again today, and it's this: how is your heart? How is your heart? Don't miss this moment to set your heart in a direction that's going to give God the opportunity and the ability to mend your heart. It starts with believing, asking God to come into our hearts, forgiving us of our sin. We've all got that. Our sin. It's falling short of the expectation that God has for our lives. We've got no hope of fulfilling that expectation apart from Jesus, apart from believing in Him. And so today, before we bring things to a conclusion, I want to ask every person in the room, how's your heart? And if you want to, and if you need to, and you certainly do need to, if you want to, and you need to, surrender your heart today and ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and to begin working in your world, to become your Savior. Renee said it when she was on stage earlier, to become your Savior. Someone that would save you. If you want God to be that for you, then open up your heart. Open up your heart right now. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. You're not joining this church. You're just saying, God, my heart's open. Would you come in? My heart needs you. Would you come in? Would you fill my heart? Would you fill my life? I want to make you Lord and Savior of my life, of my heart. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you made this decision years ago, but your heart's cold now and your heart is closed and you know it has been. Now's the moment to open it up and you'll be amazed at the freshness that God will bring to a hardened heart as He comes in. If you're in the room this morning or you're online today, part of our online family and community, and you want to make this decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're online, you can click that comment section that says, I want to receive Jesus, and make a response, and one of our team will follow through and make a contact with you and help you in terms of making that step and taking that step to follow Jesus. If you're in the room today, I'm going to ask you right now, while everyone's got their head bowed, if you'd raise your hand, lift your hand up for me, nice and high, let me see your hand. I want to take a moment to pray for you today. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else here today, is that you? Is that your moment, your decision, your desire right now? Thank you. You can put your hand down, love. Somebody else, is that you? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, is that you today? Is that your heart, your thought, your desire right now? Last time, right across the room, if you're online, now's your moment. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down. If you're online, you can click that comment section. Say, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. And God will come in. Father, I pray today for people that have lifted their hand, young and old today, to say, Jesus, come into my heart, that I want to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come in and redeem and change and restore and reconcile and make everything right in hearts that are broken, that are damaged, that are hard today. Forgive people of their sins and begin the journey, God, of making life a whole lot better for every single one is my prayer today in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen, amen, amen. Why don't you give everybody a hand that lifted their hand, said yes to Jesus today. What a good decision that is for you. If you lifted your hand today, can I say this? The thing you need to do is just engage, just keep coming to church and just learning and leaning in and looking. And we want to help you in that regard as a church. If you would take a moment today just to visit in the foyer, you'll find a desk called our Ask Me desk. You can't miss it. It's right on the way out. We'll have some people there meet with you this morning. If you'd go and just say, I said yes to Jesus today, tell them that. They will look after you there and help you in terms of your next steps. But your obvious next step is come back to church. That's why church exists. That's why we're here. Why don't we all stand to our feet today? We're going to close. I know the band are playing a particular song, but I'm going to throw a spanner in the works right now because that's what I do. They know that after 11 years. They know that's what we do. And so what we're going to do is we're going to all pretend we're Darlene Check is what we're going to do in the room right now. When they sang Shout to the Lord, I mean, for all of us oldies, this was one of the faves in the day. And so we're going to sing that together with the best of our hearts today. Come on, let's just worship God. God is what this is all about. Lean in, give it all you got today. Enjoy His presence.
Joy at the
team a big hand. Come on, guys. Give them a big hand. Well done. Thank you so much for doing that song for me. And I appreciate it so much. I was right in the game till you kicked that key change up. I had nothing after that. Nothing left in the tank. Thank you, Miss Candace, for being on stage today. Candace joined the team particularly for today. She was our creative director for 10 years. And I just love having you on stage today with TJ and Mia. And thank you so much. Appreciate that. We love you. Thank you to all our hospitality team. Come on, give them a big hand. EJ Events, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you for everything that you've done. Thank you to everybody that served today, all the techie people that are in the rooms upstairs. Give them a big hand. These people are behind the scenes. They don't get all the applause on stage, but we love you, Dale, and all your team, everybody upstairs. And thank you so, so much for being a part of what we've done today. In the words of Brian Charles Houston, the best is yet to come. God bless you, church. Have an amazing day. Have a great week. Thank you very much for being with us today. Don't forget, next week, our grand pastor, Pastor Danny Guglamucci, will be with us next Sunday on the big screens. A massive shout out and thanks to Pastor Mark and Deanne von Blankensee for being with us today. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much, Pastor Mark. Great to have you with us today. Good night. God bless. Thank you.